It is Saturday, October 10th, 2009, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California. And today I have some grave news for you all. It looks like due to money constraints, your beloved geeks may be replaced by robots. We're dealing with this situation as best as we can today, and there's one thing you can do to help. Donate to KOSP right now, participate in our fall pledge drive, and pledge a dollar, $2, $10, anything you can to help keep us safe, keep us here, and not replaced by robot overlords. It's time now for your human participation on Geek Speak. We have a anonymous geek donation pledge, a matching pledge of $500 for this hour. We'd like you to call in right now to participate in that. The phone numbers are 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, GNIHosting.com. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gap between geeks and the rest of humanity. Humanity, people, not robots. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. Just us human geeks with independent minds, without mind control by some robot horde intelligence. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. I'm a human being. In the air with me, our fellow human geeks, Al Luckow, a new media architect.
Good morning, humans.
And Miles Elam, student, slacker, and political junkie.
Good morning. I can't believe we're doing this.
We're all going to be replaced by robots?
Yeah. Apparently they have replicas of each of us, and they're programmed to act and even look like us.
Yeah, except they smell like fresh plastic wiffle balls.
Well, give the robots a message that you like your news, information, and music expertise to come from people you admire. People you connect with from the fine folks here at KUSP that donate their time to share their vast knowledge and skills to produce good radio.
That's right, Al. KUSP is important to us all because it is created by people that care. It isn't some automated best of list forwarded to you by automated news gathering systems of automatons.
Right. Call right now and donate to KUSP. 800-655-5877, which is actually the wrong number. It's 1-888-777-1507. Or you can go online and prove that you are a human by giving us money with your credit card. Support your species.
That's right. We don't want any stinking robot money. You can keep your metallic, oily, electrical, silicon coins or whatever those robots use for money. We don't want it.
That's right. Just human cash, please. Yes. And, of course, you can do that online at kosp.org or call us right now. There is a room full of people sitting in the next room for me. And the phone number, of course, is 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. The phone number won't cost you any money, and it only takes a few minutes. Miles, we have some thank yous?
Yes, I have a thank you from Roberta from Santa Cruz, and she's always enjoys Dr. Don. Car Talk, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Diane Rehm.
She actually on the bottom of that, too, she says that she can't stand red glowing eyes. So that's good.
Yes, that's very good. And another name, which I cannot read. No, I actually need a producer to help me with.
Anonymous it is.
Who likes, likes Doctor Now and Dr. Don. Sandy, liking Democracy Now. Nancy from Aptos, thank you. Dr. Don and Car Talk. And Anne from Santa Cruz, who loves Amy Goodman.
That would be Enid.
Enid.
Thank you, Enid.
Thank you all for donating. And please do call in now to donate to the station. The phone number is 888-777-1507. And let's do some human geek news. Al, wait a second. You've been covering a lot of robots.
No wonder we're losing a job here. I mean, come on. We're not even able to speak straight.
Al, you've been covering a lot of robot stories lately. And is this whole uprising, like, your fault?
Let's do a non-robot story next.
Aha.
Okay. This is a really cool thing, which I think there isn't anybody out there that isn't going to think this is cool. The name of this device is the Terrafugia Transition, the rotable light sport aircraft. And what this thing is, it's been designed by a team of MIT-trained engineers. They've been working on it since, like, 2006. And it's a car that turns into a plane. And we have a link to this on our website. This thing is the size of a car. And the wings just kind of pop up and fold out. It takes 30 seconds to open up. And then it can just, like, drive away and then take off in the air.
Is this a street-legal vehicle? Like, you could actually drive this on the street?
Well, you know, that hasn't been approved yet. Okay. You still have to go through all this.
But it's the size of a car. You could theoretically get it tested.
It's totally a car-sized thing. I mean, it's not even like, you know, doesn't even look like it's van-sized. You know, you can see video of this thing. And it runs on unleaded gas.
Not like jet fuel or something.
No, not aviation fuel, which is, like, really expensive.
What's the gas mileage? Is it like an efficient car?
It says it goes 30 miles per gallon on road and goes up to 65 miles per hour. It has a useful load of 430 pounds, a fuel tank of 20 gallons, and the fuel burn, I guess this would have to do with, it says 5 gallons per hour.
Oh, when you're dealing with flight.
Yeah. And the range is 460 miles. It cruises at 115 miles per hour.
Can we buy one of these?
You know, they actually are slated to be released in 2011.
Okay.
And it's an expensive thing. I mean, I don't know anybody who... Well, actually, I do know somebody who could afford this. And actually, he's the one that sent me this link. Come think of it.
Waz going to buy one.
Waz sent me this link. But anyway... it's going through its proving time right now where they check it out and they make sure that it's all going to not, you know, explode.
It
also has the option of a full vehicle parachute.
See, okay, I finally figured out. Oh, that makes just an option?
That's an option I would opt for, by the way.
You know. They should sell the car for $10 plus optional.
Yeah.
Optional parachute for right. $5 million. I'll take one of those.
I don't know. If you're in an aircraft, a lot of times, if you're low to the ground, the parachute's not going to help because by the time you notice there's a problem, you're already down.
Right.
If you're up high, as long as the wings are still attached, like you could.
Yeah, you need to have the wings on there. It does. When the wings fold up, it fits in a normal garage. And the real goal of this group was to address the head-to-head issue that private and sports pilots face. They face. And overall, door-to-door travel time and a lack of mobility at the destination. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll fly your plane somewhere, and then you land, and then you're like, well, here we are at the airport, and now we have to drive somewhere.
Or you're flying over a small town, and you see the Starbucks, but you take too long to do that.
You need to be able to pull over. But it's going to get very crowded up there pretty soon.
So here's the problem. You said 2012?
It says 2011 is when it's scaled to... Okay. To be released, it's close to 200K.
Yeah, right.
But they say over time
it would be down to 150,000.
Actually, much less than that.
Really?
Yeah, they're looking at 70K or something.
So a high priced car.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I saw their training. They have training that allows you to go and learn how to fly this thing. Yeah. And they say you can learn to fly it in a very short amount of time.
Takes a week and a half to learn to land it, though.
It says become a sport pilot in as little as 20 hours of flight time in a transition specific course.
Wow. Okay, so
that's a little scary.
We've always said that when we have flying cars, it'll be the future. So I was wondering if that's the reason why the world's going to end in 2012, because all of a sudden it will be the future.
Oh, when there's flying cars,
stop.
When there's flying cars, it will be the end of the world. I'll tell you that right now. but I'm going to get one if I can.
No, just the end of the people who are actually using flying cars
and the people that are under them.
Right.
All right, Al. Thank you for that story. Uh-huh. Terrafugia Transitional the Rotable Light Sport Aircraft. What a great name! They have to change that to an acronym of some kind.
A little weird.
Miles, hi.
Hello, good morning. I'm talking about a blog entry from Ziff Davis Net entitled Nightmare on Dim Street, which I thought was an interesting title I had to share. It refers to a study done by Google talking about reliability rates of RAM. RAM, the memory in our systems, not where you're storing data, but how your system works.
the stuff you upgrade that makes the video, I mean, that makes everything faster.
Right, the stuff that you need a lot of to run Photoshop.
Right.
The interesting thing about it is they are a lot less reliable than we've all assumed they were. We'd always assumed, you know, they're generally reliable. You get ECC RAM for servers, but that's because servers, you can't have any errors. But in the desktop, you know, it just has a few. As it turns out, standard RAM, especially for a server which is on all the time and constantly processing, has an error rate hundreds to thousands of times higher than we assumed. This is one of the values of actually testing data, is they were getting about 3,751 correctable errors per DIMM per year.
Wow. Wait. Every computer?
Every DIMM in every computer.
So make sure everybody knows what a DIMM is.
DIMM is the little memory module that you plug into a computer.
Direct inline memory module.
It's funny they call it DIMM.
Yeah, well, these things
actually
are DIMM.
Dual inline.
Dual.
As opposed to a SIM, single inline memory module.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. So anyway, the RAM in your machine is actually failing all the time. Why don't we notice this more? Is this why Windows crashes?
Well, there are a variety of reasons why Windows crashes.
we don't have it.
We only have another 45
next
20
can't
years.
We can't really cover that.
Right, but at the same time, that is just a mean. That's not all RAM that's out there. It turns out that 20% of the DIMMs were making up 90% of the observed errors.
Oh, interesting. So is there a way to test your memory to see if one of your DIMMs is in this horrible 90% error rate?
Well, one thing you can do is get error checking and correcting RAM.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit more expensive, and the motherboard's a little bit more expensive. And those actually check to see, is the data that went in there the same data that's coming out?
Miles, I'm a little confused here. If you're having quite a few errors, isn't pretty much every error going to be pretty catastrophic for the system?
Motherboards can also catch errors as well, but many of them don't. But for a desktop machine where it's not on 24/7, where it's not you know, constantly working, you're not going to see the errors as often because the system is idle much of the time.
I normally take it for read that my machine's going to give me a response that's accurate. Is that insane?
Well, everything has some errors. Like, for example, a hard drive error.
Horrible answer.
Like, a hard drive may have a bad sector.
Yeah.
And you may get and it may not even come up that you see the bad sector because it checks for the read, something fails, it goes back and checks again and gets it the second time while it's in that decay state.
I see.
That's much the same case with memory. Some things are detectable. You can go like, that's not right.
Right. All right.
But it turns out that little wiggle room happens a lot more often than we originally planned. And you know, thank you for companies like Google.
Yeah,
that do the research and then also tell us what they found and don't just keep it internal.
Thank you, Miles. Hey, Terry.
Hello.
What's going on?
Terry Green, station manager,
visiting us in the middle of the show.
Just came up the stairs, and at the foot of the stairs, I was somewhat surprised to see a gaggle of robots looking upward.
Is it gazing upward? Is it a gaggle of robots?
I believe it is.
A gaggle of robots.
Right.
I think that's right.
The packing list said one gaggle.
One gaggle.
Yeah.
Gaggle of robots.
So, yeah, I disconnected the elevator.
Ah.
And
So you're figuring they haven't got stairs down yet.
No.
Clearly they didn't.
Yeah, I rerouted the door sensors on the elevator, and it looks like it's working, so they should be kind of delayed there.
Yeah. I ran up the stairs. It was
fine.
So anybody coming to the station will have to take the stairs.
Yeah.
Good thinking, Lyle.
Thank you. Right. Robots can't climb stairs.
Yeah, that's right. But that means this is quite serious. Looks like it's quite serious, people. And I stress the word people. You listen to KOSP because the news and music we produce is top-notch. We provide an important service to your life. And you know this. You don't really need me to tell you. So let's let Miles tell you.
So why do you listen to KOSP? Maybe it's because you know that you can trust that what you're listening to is accurate, fair, and thoroughly researched. It's an old-fashioned approach to reporting the news. But still, it's the most reliable approach. KOSP is your trusted source for news, information, and analysis. Listener support makes KUSP possible. The largest source of our funds that keep KUSP on your radio comes from contributions like the one we're asking you to make right now. So call 1-888-777-1507 or go to KUSP.org.
Listen, we have a current matching grant of $500. That means anything you donate up to $500 will be basically doubled. So please act right now to make sure that we receive this money from the station and it is an anonymous geek, and I'm assuming it's one of the geeks that listens to the show just like you. And I know a lot of non-geeks listen to Geek Speak because, well, you find it a little informative and sometimes you're lost about what we're saying. Well, today there's one thing we're saying very clearly. KOSP is important to you. Donate. The phone numbers are 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. All right. Miles, you want to do some thank yous?
Al will be doing the
please.
Thank yous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would like to thank Billy from Santa Cruz out there for giving us a pledge. And also Connie from Aptos. Connie has swears her Roomba has become self-aware.
Has yeah, it's scary.
Following her. So, good idea to keep the humans in charge.
Good. Yeah, Lyle, so how do we save money by replacing us with robots? I mean, we all volunteer our time anyway, so...
Yeah, that's a nice, simple, reasonable question, Miles. A question a robot would never ask. All right.
Phew, still human. Okay.
You know, this whole robot takeover thing is really creeping me out. I'm going to go and just make sure they haven't figured out how to climb the stairs. Okay, guys.
That's a good idea.
I'll be back in a minute.
All right. The time now, while Al's gone, please go ahead and give us a ring. The phone number is 888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. We still have $475 on our matching pledge to go, and you can take advantage of that right now. Again, the phone number is 888-777-1507, and, of course, the website is kosp.org. GeekSpeak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry using digital technology for less radiation and offering one-appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. This is our fall pledge drive, and we are taking your donations during this whole hour. Fine human volunteers are standing by, and we have a nice two-minute conversation with you, pretty short, and you can call in right now, 888-777-1507, or go online and do it the robot way if you'd like, kosp.org. And Al, you have a... Oh, Al's gone. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll go ahead and ask you to participate. You listen to other podcasts? You listen to podcasts in general? Send us an email. Go up to geekspeak.org and let us know what you listen to in your podcast list, and we'll mention on air as we try it out. That would be fantastic, I got to say. Let's see. Miles, you want to hit us with a news story?
Sure. Some laws coming, a Senate draft bill that's coming up talking about giving presidential powers during cybersecurity emergencies. So this would be on the level of the powers that President Bush had during 9/11, where he was able to say all aircraft are grounded
right
for the next couple of days. This one would be if we were under some form of cyber attack, some major one, that the president would be able to temporarily seize control over computer networks, including ones in the private sector. So this,
really?
Yes.
How would they do that? I mean, technically, it sounds a little different.
Well, one, even though we tend to think of the internet as being fairly ethereal, there are physical servers that
right.
you can go and, you know,
sure.
shut down. There's also a lot of areas where you have routing occurring, so you can choose to say these aren't, you know, these routes don't go to the computers anymore.
What do you think about this idea?
Well, I think the purpose of it is important.
Okay.
I think that if there is some cybersecurity attack coming from a certain area, let's say a whole big block of computers were taken over by a virus that was distributed denial of service attack on some government installation or mm-hmm. on something that was requiring for health, like a hospital network, then I think there should be some ability to deal with that.
To protect
attack.
That, yeah.
And it does make sense that it would be part of the executive branch, executive powers, to be able to do that.
Can I talk about the concern part? The concern part for me is that you have some kind of vital point like that that makes the whole system weaker. I mean, for a purpose of use that would be beneficial, but potentially it's a target point for a problem.
For abuse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that was something that I wonder about because I haven't gotten through the bill of the question of oversight, the idea of checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is the thing that's been missing from from legislation, not just with cybersecurity, but in general. In this case, it's yes, the president, I think, in certain circumstances should be given that power. But who has the oversight to say, was this justified? The Supreme Court to be able to say, nope, this does not fit the guideline.
Right.
You can take this back. Or, you know, maybe criminal, something that you can say there's a penalty for doing something wrong, or to take those powers away, a procedure for doing so.
Right. All right. Well, hopefully it will be done efficiently. Hey, next week I'm going to be in D.C., so maybe we should talk to somebody in that group and chat about with them on air. Because I think government and technology seems to be more connected lately than it has in previous administrations.
Well, they've been using technology more. I don't know about being in control of technology.
I mean managing the issues of knowing that that's a big issue. I mean,
right. And that's one of the things in the bill is actually saying that the executive branch is expected within 180 days of enactment that they should develop a strategy, something that's some roadmap for how things are going to be taken place.
Right. Oh. Hey, Al, what took you so long?
I have a news story to deliver on the air.
Okay. Are robots climbing up or anything?
I have this news story.
Okay. Go ahead. Great.
It's the Nissan ePro robot car. It's accomplishing collision-free driving by mimicking fish behavior.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. This ePro 1 robot car is going to be demonstrated in Yokohama, Japan. And it's at a trade show called SeaTech for humans. This prototype car is designed to travel in a group of like vehicles, mimicking the behavioral patterns of school of fish in avoiding obstacles without colliding with each other, which, if I might say, is a stroke of genius. Banging into one another is a big problem with robots. That's what I hear.
These cars are robots,
I guess.
They're robot cars.
Okay.
It's a ePro 1 robot car. Anyway, Nissan will demonstrate this breakthrough technology with a group of 6 glorious ePros when they make their world debut at this convention. Yes. These are robot cars. This is the world's first development of a robot car that can travel in a group by sharing the position and information of others within the group via communication technologies. I mean, wow. Can you imagine that? Being able to travel with others and not bang into them all the time? You know, if you're a robot.
Al, are you feeling okay? That story seemed a little weird coming out of you.
Good. I'm functioning perfectly.
Okay, good. Al, what's the square root of 9,216?
96.
Good. And if you're traveling 15 miles per hour in an eastbound train and a tortoise is in the sun, what's the highest prime number you can think of? Al? The highest prime number you can think of?
It's, I.
Right then.
Oh. Thanks, Miles.
Did one get in here?
Yeah, Al, one got in
here. One got in?
Yeah. It's okay, Miles. Thanks for taking care of that.
Yeah, no problem.
He covered a really positive story about robots.
Oh,
is everything okay outside?
Yeah. They started climbing the stairs, but I stopped them.
High prime number question?
Nope. Sound of one hand clapping.
Ah, classic. Cool. Hey, how's the? Next news story, or you want to talk about the PowerPoint presentation you were telling me about yesterday?
I think that the PowerPoint thing is something that I can contribute to this thing. I'd like to mention a couple other things first. There's a website out there that is, it's called BeetleTube.
BeetleTube? As in YouTube, but the Beatles?
It's actually BeetleTube.net.
Oh, I was thinking you say the name 3 times and a Beetletube comes out, yeah.
And this website has gathered, it's like a database that has gone through YouTube and collected and organized all the Beatles videos that are on YouTube. And there are a lot. I mean, literally, you can go to this website, BeetleTube.net, and just call up any Beatles song and watch a video of a Beatles song, which I think is a kind of a neat use of technology, just saying, yeah. I'm going to make this site. And
so it's just an indexing of all the YouTube videos,
yes,
of the Beatles that are already up there.
Yes, but it's quite extensive.
Really?
I mean, it's like, I'm not completely sure how they're able to accomplish this kind of thing. YouTube is like one big copyright violation anyway. So, but it's still there.
Hey.
We ought to try it out.
All right, BeatlesTube. Is it BeatlesTube.net?
It's called BeatlesTube.net.
BeatlesTube.net. And just all the YouTube videos about the Beatles. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and mention that right now is the time to call in to donate to this fall pledge drive for KUSP. The phone number is 888-777-1507. And we have gotten a pledge, Miles.
Yes. Thank you from Barbara. Thank you for Barbara, I should say. She's thanking Dr. Dawn for her work. And KUSP is the only moment of sanity in her day.
Wow. She must have a tough job. And of course, that hour of Geek Speak probably doesn't include that moment of sanity. We do currently have an anonymous geek donation of $500. I'd like to match that geek donation within the next 10 minutes. Please call in now to donate to KUSP. And we're asking you to do this because KUSP's one of its major sources is you, the contributors, the listeners. You don't have to have done this before. You can do this for the first time. You're joining a really wonderful group of people that love the radio station KUSP, that find that the content we produce is important to them, that they listen every day. If you find yourself listening quite a bit to KUSP, especially if you're listening now, the phone number to call in to donate, because it is important to you. It's a part of your life, just like everything else you do and pay for in your life. And KUSP's one of its major ways of getting donations or getting money is by your donations. So call in right now. Let's see if we can get some new donors. The phone numbers are 888-777-1507. Again, 888-777-1507, or online at kusp.org.
And every gift to KUSP is a generous one. Consider a gift of $20 a month for a year. As a thanks, we'll send you the KUSP reusable shopping bag, the Eaton emergency hand crank radio, very useful as we get into the rainy season, and the KUSP member card.
We haven't gotten a lot of calls in that line, and I'm thinking that the robots are actually jamming the lines. I think I'm going to have to clear that out a bit. So while I'm doing that, Al, can you let me know, what was the PowerPoint presentation thing that you were dealing with?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if, most people out there know that I'm a designer and I do this stuff. And recently, I completed a PowerPoint presentation for, let's just say, a big Silicon Valley corporation that begins with L, ends with an H. This is part of what I do in my real job. During the particular project, I ran into a problem with video insertion that I thought maybe people might be interested in. Now, as a designer, I run into problems all the time like this, so there's nothing special about it. However, if I can just save one person from this problem, I know my life would have been worthwhile. Anyway, I'm sure a lot of you have to use PowerPoint at work.
PowerPoint, of course, is a presentation software package. Everyone knows these like video slides that go up. Lots of times it's just bullet marks where it's like everything the person's saying or it's part of the person saying. Miles, you use it for teaching
and
sometimes, right?
Yes, and it's apropos to say you have to use it rather than I want to use PowerPoint.
I think everyone has to use it.
You know, I don't really want to get into a critique of the program. We all know PowerPoint is only used because it's included with Microsoft Office, and everybody has Office. I can name half a dozen slide programs from 1998 that blow the current PowerPoint out of the water as far as features and ease of use.
All right.
I guess that is a critique. Oh, well. Be that as it may, PowerPoint is dominating right now.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, inserting video into your slide presentation can be very impactful, especially if you're a company that deals with webcams or something. My problem is that many designers, most maybe, well, like me, I use a Mac. The corporate world, however, does not. The corporate world uses PCs.
Yes, they do.
Yes. The problem is that you have to get your presentation to play on the PC and get the video to play at the same time. I would normally do it using QuickTime on a Mac.
Yeah, and QuickTime, of course, is a video playback application, and it's the default player on the Mac. In fact, on a Macintosh, I don't know if you can play video without really playing it through QuickTime. Even the players...
No, you can. There's DivX and...
Yeah, but those players actually using the QuickTime libraries to play most files. That's how you... Right?
Yeah, they
not
they
necessarily.
Kind of,
not if they're using the FFmpeg.
That's true.
Library.
There's
a whole.
In any case, on the Windows side, you have to have it installed. And of course, if you're installing QuickTime on Windows, you have to have installed iTunes as well. But QuickTime's a player, basically.
So that's the whole thing. The problem is that you do all these great things on the Mac, but you got to play it on the PC.
Right.
So when it's open on the PC, QuickTime would probably just look like a white square, which my personal contact, Stan, at this company, was not exactly happy with. Turns out, on a PC Windows platform, PowerPoint isn't really playing the video. It's the native video player of the OS doing all the work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So on a Windows machine, the real player or Windows Media Player or even a Flash player, and then there's also QuickTime, they don't actually interact with each other. QuickTime's kind of a wrapper for those guys.
Right. It's actually just floating on top of the presentation.
Okay.
And on the Windows machine, the Windows Media Player can really only play AVI MPEGs and another form of NPEGs. Okay. And Windows Media Player files.
Right, the WMV
it's native format.
Right.
So any format I imported really needed to be one of those three formats or it would choke.
Right.
The trick is how to get it in one of those formats on my Mac easily.
Right, without encoding it in a style that only QuickTime can play.
So I ended up using an inexpensive program called Flip for Mac by Telestream. And once you install this Flip for Mac, it adds the ability for QuickTime to export as a Windows Media file. And you can always import a Windows Media file into a Mac file. So
so using that as your file format actually works on both platforms.
Yeah. Right. And it whenever this Flip for Mac also adds the ability to export from Final Cut, Final Cut Express, and iMovie and all that. So you can export your movies in this Windows format.
Right.
And like I said, I run into issues like this all the time. These are just example problems you could see. You're not going to read about these things in books necessarily. These are things that really are happening, that things that I'm working on right now. And God knows I've got enough of these problems. But I'd like to know if it's the kind of thing that listeners are interested in. If so, just email me at al@geekspeak.org. Just remember, I'm a designer, so these things all relate to that field. For open source, Linux, or programming things, let one of the other guys know through the contact form on our site, geekspeak.org. We want to be tuned in to our listeners.
And we are. I mean, every week we take your calls with questions and comments about technology. We open up quite a bit to anything you'd like. And this kind of question comes up. I'm sure we've answered PowerPoint playing video things in the last 9 years of doing the show. And those kind of problems are things that are extremely hard to find. And finding a really great, knowledgeable resource you can trust is, of course, a wonderful way to do that. And that's one of the reasons why we're here every week. It's why you listen, most likely. And, of course, it's also why you listen to KOSP in general. Don does this for medical advice, of course, right before us. And we have a plethora of shows throughout the week that fill with really great, knowledgeable people about the music that they're playing, about the other talk content that we have. And, of course, we have wonderful syndicated content from NPR, PRI. All of this is to produce a radio-rich experience that you can take advantage of by just tuning your radio to us. And we know you do that because you're listening right now. And since you do that, donating to KOSP is an important thing to do. The phone number is 888-777-1507. We still have $355 left to go on our Geek Challenge. That's a $500 Geek Challenge. We have $355 left to go for this hour. Please call in right now and help whittle that number down, participating by donating your money to a station that you appreciate.
And a challenge is when you donate a dollar, another person matches that dollar.
That's
so every dollar you donate is $2 that goes to the station.
That's right. Miles, got to thank you.
Yes, thank you for Joan from Aptos. Thank you for supporting KUSP.
All right. And, of course, everyone that donates, thank you so much for doing that. I just want to let you know the robot takeover has been a lot of fun. In all seriousness, KUSP comes to you on air just a few days every year to talk about the importance of listener support. And we trust that listeners will respond to the call and give. And in turn, you trust your favorite public radio programs, like ours, to maintain the quality you expect to hear each day. KOSP is committed to bringing you not only breaking news of the day, but analysis, thoughts, and opinions that you have come to rely on. KOSP is also a great resource for entertainment and so much more. Today, please help maintain this trusted community resource by making a gift. It takes just a few moments online, kosp.org, or you can talk to someone in the next room. They'll answer the phone, 888-777-1507.
It was John F. Kennedy that said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." This is very true for KOSP. We have deep gratitude for the support of listeners and the trust you place in the news and information we broadcast each day. You can be assured KUSP lives by that trust, bringing you relevant and reliable news from across the globe and across town. Just like you count on KUSP, we count on you. Listener funding makes up the largest amount of the station's budget. Please make a gift during this important membership drive. Call 1-888-777-1507 or donate securely online at kosp.org.
And you can contribute $60 or more right now and receive our bonus gift, This American Life DVD 2009 Cinema Event Live, Return to the Scene of the Crime. Fans packed into hundreds of movie theaters across the U.S. to see Ira Glass do storytelling radio on stage. focused on tales about crime and criminals. He invited writers Diane Savage, Mike Birbiglia, Starley Kine, and Joss Whedon to share their own stories. The DVD includes a visually delightful cartoon by Chris Ware. Behind-the-scenes photos, audio commentary, and clever on-screen puzzles used as a pre-show warm-up, a collector's item.
And that is at what level of donation?
That is at $60 or more.
Okay, that's what I'm doing today.
Chris Ware, what did Chris Ware do?
I don't recognize Chris Ware.
It's a very familiar name.
But all of those guys, Chris Whedon, of course, did
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, rather, did
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Serenity, Firefly.
Yeah.
And you'll also receive the KUSP reusable grocery bag by Chico Bag. Click and join KUSP online at KUSP.org or call 1-888-777-1507.
All right. Thank you very much. And for this trusted news and information that you appreciate every week, we have some really interesting information from the Wisconsin Tourism Federation. Al?
Yeah. Turns out, the power of blogging and all the things that are kind of happening, all the abbreviations people are using. All that kind of stuff, all this stuff. Turns out the Wisconsin Tourism Federation is going to need to change its name.
The Wisconsin Tourism Federation. Is there an abbreviation that...
Well, it would be the abbreviation for Wisconsin Tourism Federation.
WTF.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what's the problem with that?
I don't know. Apparently, they say there's just too many jokes about it, and they spawn too many comments about them in blogs.
I wish Ben was here. He knows the chat.
Yeah.
He knows lead
I know.
Speak
he's
well.
Hip to all this jive.
I know.
You know, but I don't know. I don't understand what WTF
Miles has
might
been
mean.
Teaching young students. Miles, do you know what WTF actually means?
I think it's a Battlestar Galactica term. What the frack?
Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. So they're offended by this.
Yeah, I guess they're going to have to change their name.
Yeah.
You know, the Wisconsin Tourism Federation has been around a long time.
And, it might have to be changed to something else.
You know, so it's a part of technology forcing its will upon...
All right. Well, good. It's too bad for the Wisconsin Tourism Federation. I think from now on out, whenever I read WTF, I'm going to have to say Wisconsin Tourism Federation.
Yes.
And see if it still makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you said you were giving away that thing and Chris Ware was the animator.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Ware, he's actually sort of a cartoonist I followed for many years.
Oh, yeah.
He does Acme comics.
Oh, he does.
They're really cool. They're like really big comic books, but the type in it is really tiny.
Oh, like I know that. Really, I know, really, really I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You get to a certain age, you can't read his.
What
comics
it is
anymore.
He did a short, humorous video, a cartoon that's on the Tell Me. CD collection. I'm sorry, no, This American Life CD selection, which of course is available if you donate at the $60 level to KUSP. Okay, Miles, what's going on with the iPhone world?
VoIP, voice over IP, has been okayed on AT&T's networks. AT&T has relented. One of the things that people want to do is use programs like Skype or Google Voice mm-hmm. over the iPhone. And one of the issues is, even though they are available for the iPhone, or at least Skype is, you could only use them if you were on a Wi-Fi network, not if you were out and about.
Right.
And that has changed now. AT&T has finally said that on Tuesday that they will begin allowing iPhone users to use programs such as that VoIP applications on their 3G and Edge networks.
It's pretty amazing, actually, because they're a carrier.
Yeah, why would they do this?
It charges for a time.
Yeah.
And now they're allowing this method to talk on the phone.
Well, also, their network is just not very robust already. It seems like it would kind of...
Well, they were... One of the impetuses about it, the impetus behind it comes from an FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, inquiry into competition, or the lack thereof, within mm-hmm. the carrier space. So when you have things like exclusivity deals with the iPhone and AT&T's network, that there had to be some give, some...
That makes sense.
So this was a concession.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's another example of technology. People seeing the technology saying, I want to be able to do this.
Right.
And it's influencing, you know, policy.
And to be clear what this is, probably most people have heard of Skype, its ability to chat from your computer to another computer, and actually Skype can make outgoing phone calls. You give them a little bit of money and it acts just like a phone, which is convenient if you're just having a network connection.
Actually, you don't have to give them money if you're calling another computer.
That's right. Calling another computer
is free. If you're
calling
a phone, then right. you have to pay
something. And you can actually, you know, get a real phone number too where it can call you. Anyway, that Skype, and there's a lot of companies like that do voice over IP or internet protocol, and what we're saying here with the iPhone is that now the iPhone will actually be able to do have applications that can do the same thing through the AT&T network.
Now,
which seems like a direct competition to the minutes that they charge.
Right. That's the whole thing, is that AT&T charges you minutes for talking. If you use a voice over IP, you're not using your minutes.
Right.
But I don't know about you guys, but I know that I have a share a family plan with two other people, and we still don't hit 550 minutes between the three of us.
You guys just don't talk enough. I do 550 minutes a day.
He does all his talking
on
the radio.
Of a prime time. Yeah. But then they have like the evening unlimited and then the rollover. It's like...
Yeah. Well, the prime time, you're not even awake at that point, right? Don't you sleep till 5 every day? So, moving on. We are taking your calls with donations to KOSP today. We really do need your support. So far, we've have $355 left to go on this challenge. It's a little pressing at this point. It's 15 minutes to go, and we would like you to call in. So KOSP is important to you. You listen to it a lot. You might not listen to GeekSpeak very directly because, of course, we're speaking kind of complicatedly all the time. But I'm going to put a little challenge out there to the geeks. Geeks, if you feel like you've ever learned something on GeekSpeak by listening, please give us a call now and donate what you think that was worth. We don't need a donation level in a massive amount. It's what you feel you can pay, what you can donate to KOSP. The number is 1-888-777-1507. That's 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. And you know, I am speaking with you directly right now. I could theoretically pick Big Sur and say, James from Big Sur, please call in now. And that would work for the two people that are named James that live in Big Sur, but it doesn't work for you. I don't know where you are directly. I don't know your name. What I do know is you're listening to KOSP right now, and that means that we need your participation to keep the station going and healthy. And it's a simple thing to do. You make a phone call, you go online if you're next to a computer, and you donate that way. And I would like to do that within the next 15 minutes to match this $355 to go. That could be just one pledge, but that could also be 355 pledges. It really depends on what you can support the station with. Al, let's talk about cheese, please.
Sure.
Well, actually, you're a designer. Let's talk about fonts. Wait a second. Do you have a story about cheese and fonts?
That is, it's funny you should say that. Oh. This is a website that you would never think this, but it's a neat little website where you try to determine if the text name displayed is the name of a cheese or of a font.
That's okay. All it is? It's just a quiz on whether it's
and,
a cheese
know,
or a font?
I'm sort of a font geek myself.
And I'm sort of a cheese geek.
I can probably identify over 100 fonts on site. But, you know, so I thought, well, I'll check this out. But I was humbled through playing this game.
Okay,
it's
a lot
harder.
Can we play this game a bit?
Than you think.
Ahead?
Okay,
let's
here we go.
Smile.
This is these are some example names. And I'll say the name, and you tell me if it's the name of a font or the name of a cheese.
Okay.
Surratt.
Surratt? I would say that's a font.
Cheese.
Okay.
36% of people get that right. Okay. Cobble.
Font.
That is a font.
Good. Is it a nice font?
53% of people get that right.
Serif or sans serif?
Devrayer?
I'll say a cheese.
Font.
Okay.
68% of people get stumped on that one. Kanafa.
I'll say a font.
Cheese. Oh, here's one.
Okay, one more.
Explorateur.
I'll say cheese.
Cheese!
Yay!
72% of people get stumped on that, so you got that one right.
So if you want to play that game, you can do that anytime you want. It's cheese or font.
It's cheese or font dot magrify.org. And
I'll have
a link to that.
Geekspeak.org. You can find out all the stuff we cover on the show, of course. Miles, Maggie's sending you notes, our producer. What's she saying?
I can't tell because her handwriting's
a little off.
Okay,
what she's saying right now is we could still have $355 to go. We need your pledge right now to make that close that to match this anonymous geek gift. Please donate now to match this gift.
And she asks for contributions of $120, just $10 a month, and you will receive the member card, and you'll take your choice of thank you gifts. That would be either KOSP's logo stainless steel water bottle and the KOSP reusable grocery bag by Chico Bag, or the This American Life's Economy Pack.
Which is that great collection of CDs with a little animated movie from an animator that Al really likes. And you can do that right now by donating. To be clear, we can bill you really quite easily on your credit card $10 a month, any kind of value you want, actually. And it makes it very simple to donate in a small amount monthly to make the station that you care about so much succeed. The phone numbers are 888-777-1507, 888-777-1507. We are asking you to make a donation of $120 for this year. The phone number, again, 888-777-1507. Of course, you can do this online at kusp.org. Miles.
Yes.
What's going on around NASA's... What's space doing? I mean, Ben's not here. So
what's space doing? Space isn't really doing much. It's a vacuum. It's
Man.
Or a near vacuum.
All right, moving on.
A NASA telescope has discovered another giant ring around Saturn. Well, what's the big deal? Because there's
it has tons of rings.
Yeah, it's got tons. That's what I thought when I first saw the story, except that this ring is massive. We're talking about if you had the Saturn and its rings, and you made it a small, tiny little pixel on your screen, these rings would be more like going around the edge of your screen. And they're
so,
huge.
So it's a wide circumference ring.
It's a thin array of ice and dust particles at the far reaches of what's known as the Saturnian system. In other words, what's the
Saturn's
under the influence
orbital influence,
of,
right.
Yeah, the influence of Saturn. And its orbit is tilted 27 degrees from the planet's main ring.
What?
So it's not from... It's not like take the rings and go out. It's actually tilting it... By 27
degrees.
Is
that the drag factor from Planet X, Miles?
Probably not.
Sorry.
You're going to hell for that. So
going to geek hell.
But the bulk of the ring material starts out at about 3.7 million miles from the planet and extends outward another 7.4 million miles.
I'm glad you used the analogy of a pixel on your screen versus the outside because that kind of distance doesn't make any sense
right.
to me.
Right. They're just so huge you can't really
That's really interesting. How did they find it? Is it a telescope?
It's not visible to to the normal human eye. You're looking at an infrared, actually.
Kind of like the X planet. Sorry.
See, why you gotta go there with that? So, Lyle, as penance, you have to explain what's X planet.
All right, there's this mythology about another planet in our solar system that comes through every once in a while, and people relate it to mass disasters and things of that nature, and it doesn't exist, but it's one of those things that people bring up crazy quotes about all the time. Pseudoscience. Is that do it?
Thank you, Lyle.
Yeah. I won't get into that then. Okay, we'll go with
that. It's really a shame he's too far away from me to give him the pat on the head.
All right, Al, we both left Benjamin around the same time, mm-hmm. and I was a little bit in front of you, and I beat you to the station. We have to repair this problem. You need to get a faster car. That's all there is to it.
Hey, you know, there is a faster car out there. And, you know, a lot of you people think, well, I'd love to get an electric car, but, you know, man, there are electric cars.
What do you mean, you people?
Well, you people, you know.
Miles,
like you.
Miles has an electric
like you.
Car.
Like you and you.
I don't have an electric car.
Oh, you do have an electric car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
these are you people. Yeah. Miles does have a hybrid. But I'm talking about 100% electric car. Okay. Now, I found this electric car. It just basically was announced. But this guy, he's just, you know, he's a hobbyist. And he's taken a 1972 Datsun 1200 Coupe. Okay. And he's converted.
It's not a sports car.
It's not a sports car at all. And he's converted it to complete electric. The guy's name is John Whalen. They call him John Plasma Boy Whalen out of Portland, Oregon. And he's got this car. He's taken it to the drag strip, and he routinely blows away Corvettes. Not only that, but he's making world records in the quarter mile.
I just think.
Really?
Yeah.
World records?
Yeah, world records for the quarter mile. The thing about an electric car is it's the torque is amazing because it's instantly on. So whereas a car, when you start it up, you kind of build up and then you get your torque. An electric car, you have it instantly. And this guy, yeah, I mean, there's a video, and we have a link to this on our site. This thing just takes off. It's like a rocket.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, 72 Datsun. I mean, we've all seen those things. They're the ones that haven't rusted away. And,
right,
and
right.
So he pulls up, and then there's a Corvette right next to him. He's apparently used a bunch of batteries, and he's...
What kind of batteries?
Well, he originally had lead acid batteries,
right? Like a normal car.
But
battery.
Then he changed them to the batteries that like you, they're lithium, the ones that power your power drills and stuff like that.
Oh, the 12 volt version.
Yeah, it's and it's real. It's like dropped the weight, and it's completely made this thing fast.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Electric
you should really check out this video.
Drag
it's a nice little story.
Right, and it is how hybrids work. Is that on the low end, you're using an electric motor because that's where the torque is,
yeah,
and on the high end, on the freeways, you have a gas engine because that's
efficient.
Where the torque are.
Sure, sure. Miles?
Well, first off, some thank yous from Judith from Watsonville. She really likes Geek Speak. Woo.
Judith Moxie calls in quite a bit. Thank you, Judith, very much.
Ask Dr. Don. Mary from Santa Cruz listens to Geek Speak, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Diane Rehm, and other shows. And speaking of KOSP, you may think that public radio stations like KOSP operate largely with tax dollars, like federal tax dollars. That's actually not true. A KOSP federal funding accounts for about maybe 10% of our income.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we would like to believe that government-supported public media will grow, it's just not going to happen given the current economic climate. By comparison, over 50% of our budget is paid for by listener contributions, vital donations from people just like you. The success of KOSP is not in the hands of politicians or the tax base. It's in your hands today, right now.
That's right. If you've never given before, please know that KOSP was here for you when you started listening because someone else once took the first step from being a listener to being a listener contributor to KOSP. Individual contributions from thousands of listeners give KOSP the money we need to pay for the programs you listen to every day. Today, we're asking you to join them by making a contribution of your own. Every gift is a generous gift. Everyone, whatever amount is. What matters most is that you contribute. A gift of just $10 a month will not only pay for the hundreds of hours of listening you'll do in the coming year, it will ensure that programs such as Geek Speak are available for the next person to discover. So all for just a couple bucks a week.
If you've been listening to KSP for a while now, isn't it time you became a member? Just a couple of minutes on the phone or online, and you won't have to think about it for another year.
You won't have to feel guilty.
Yeah. Visit us online right now at kosp.org or call us direct at 1-888-777-1507.
We have a pledge right now of to go on our matching anonymous geek gift of only $115. That's just one person donating $110 a month. Please do it now. There's 2 minutes left in the program. Geek Speak on KOSP is supported by Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Socal Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. The phone numbers to donate right now, 1-888-777-1507. Al's Crazy USB of the Week is just coming up a moment from now, and you can do right now. Just call in 888-777-1507. Geek Speak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. The geeks today are Al Luckow. Al, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
And Miles Elam. Miles, thank you.
Thank you.
Whole cadre of people in the next room all waiting for your last call, your call right now to match the last $115 of our matching pledge from Anonymous Geek. Rick's in the other room. He's here every week donating his time to take your calls with questions and comments. Today, he just wants to hear one thing from you, your donation. 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. Geek Speak on KOSP is supported by Dr. Don Motika and OptimageHealth.com in Santa Cruz, providing personalized solutions to health concerns by combining conventional medicine with a wide variety of functional medicine techniques. Details at OptimageHealth.com.
Did you ever feel like just going out in the open ocean, just going out with the men and their beards and joining up with the expedition, clambering down on the hatch and using the head and all that? Well, who are you kidding? You're never going to do that. However, there is one thing you can do. That's check out the GeekSpeak Crazy USB Device of the Week, the USB Jellyfish Mini Aquarium with Moody Light. It's a little USB aquarium that has fake jellyfish in it that look like they're swimming around. And you know how dangerous a jellyfish can be. Well, some jellyfish can be, you know, when they're real. So, when you're looking for some adventure, and you're pretty much never do anything or go anywhere, consider getting one of these fake deep-sea creature tanks for your desk. Just don't let your boss see it, though, because it has water in it, and it could leak on your keyboard.
Car Talk is coming up next. Car Talk on KOSP is made possible by a grant from the Holly Family Fund at the Community Foundation of Santa Cruz County. We appreciate their support. That robot's coming online again.
Prime number my processor can compute is 106-340-4174-9.
Geek Speak is on KOSP every week at 10 a.m. here. Please donate 888-777-1507.
As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them.